want to present some of the surprises as well as the struggles we encountered while trying to collect field data among construction workers. And I'd like to acknowledge both sides of my employment here, Washington University as well as St. Louis University, but mostly the Carpenters Joint Labor Management Apprenticeship Program in St. Louis. Is it the mouse? As everyone in this room is probably aware, construction worker is a hazardous industry that results in many fatalities as well as injuries. And therefore, the need for occupational health and safety study is very important. And the to study these risks, we need to collect data, as Michael described, through surveys. But it's equally important to collect field in the data. You see a very different perspective of the hazards. And so for our study, we were following individuals, but finding individuals, workers at field sites is extremely difficult and time-consuming, as you will see. So the purpose of our study is to describe the barriers that we encountered while collecting this work exposure data. And these photos show you some of the information you can collect on site that you don't necessarily see through some of the survey data. You get a sense of the postures as well as the risks, the environment, and the co-worker relationships by seeing things performed in the field. And so therefore, worksite visits are terribly important. So this data that I'm presenting today is part of a longitudinal study. It's still ongoing, and it is examining the development of upper extremity disorders in newly hired workers. That includes 8 companies and 3 trade groups. Each participant signed a written consent that stated they would participate in a baseline physical exam, as well as repeated surveys and a worksite visit at 6 months. The study was approved by all 8 companies, as well as the Carpenters Labor Contractor Joint Apprenticeship Program. So despite having signed the written consent when the individual signed up for the study, we went back to each participant and asked them to consent to have us come out for the worksite visit. And for the carpenters, we went to the apprenticeship program or contacted them by phone. At the time, if they agreed, we got their contractor information, and if they said no, we asked the reason why. After receiving consent, we then went to the contractor to seek their approval. Initially, we used the assistance of 2 union carpenter employment counselors who contacted the contractor, explained the purpose of the study, and if they received approval from the contractor, they actually escorted us to several of the initial worksite visits. After we had the process in place, then those employment counselors were available to us for questions or other contractor information. The purpose of the employment counselors as part of the apprenticeship training is to keep the apprentices employed, so they have a positive relationship with each of these contractors in the field. The worksite visit generally took approximately an hour from time on to time off site. It entailed videotaping work samples of the job as well as a brief worker interview. And once we received contractor approval, then we proceeded to schedule the worksite visit. This shows you the data I will present, which is basically the rate of approval, reason for refusal, as well as the communication effort required to schedule the worksite visit and the physical effort to go out and complete the worksite visit. Here are the results. I'm presenting results on 211 of the carpenters that are participating in the project. We asked if they would allow the worksite visit, and 78% or 164 agreed with 47 refusals. You can see from the chart that there was no difference in age between these 2 groups, but the second row shows you the transiency. These are the number of contractor changes that happen by year between the 2 groups, and there is a difference. So those who agreed had fewer changes with a maximum range of 5 compared to those who refused, who had up to 14 changes in a single year, and that's not uncommon. Now, the reasons that they gave us for their refusal mostly were they were uncomfortable with being watched. Other than that, some of them were not working at the time they were asked. Some of them had concerns about their supervisor, and some of them had already left carpentry because this was 6 months after initial enrollment. Now, the communication with the contractor, usually we called the main office once we received approval from the individual and often had to leave messages. For small contractors, many of them are working in the field side by side with their employees, so they're not available. Often we had to relay messages through the receptionist. To schedule the worksite visit was also difficult. Oftentimes their schedule is set the night before or even the morning of the workday. So we would call the office at 6:30 in the morning to find out where the worker was working, get the location, the directions, and how long they were going to be there. Because in residential, often they would work at multiple sites in a single day. All of these things were dependent upon so many variables, it was difficult to know what we would encounter when we arrived. So here are the results for the contractors. Our 164 apprentices who agreed to participate worked for 87 different contractors. And of those contractors, we contacted 66 of them, and 87% agreed to let us come out to the worksite. That was not our barrier. Now, the 21 contractors that were not asked, it was because the apprentice no longer was available for the EA, and I've listed the reasons below the table there. They're so transient, they were no longer working for the contractor or various other reasons. The of the 58 who agreed, contractors who agreed to let us participate, 14 of them had been initially contacted by those employment counselors, and then we took over and started contacting them directly. Of those 58 who approved, they employed 129 apprentices. 15 of those apprentices had already moved on by the time we were trying to contact them. So we completed 114 worksite visits. 8 contractors refused, and the reasons given were not surprising. Half of them were safety, liability, and work comp. 1 was just not interested, and 3 failed to give a reason when they left that message back on our answering machine. So, what are the barriers that we encountered in terms of communication? The results in this table only represent 65 of the work sites, of the completed workstations because or worksite visits because we didn't keep detailed call logs prior to that time. Once we started to realize what a big issue this was, we became more attentive to our call logs. Each of these took on average to complete the worksite visit 8 phone calls to their office, only half of which ended up in conversations with a range of up to 20 contacts. But the more interesting thing is the amount of time it took. It took 8 weeks on average to complete a worksite visit from the time of the first call and up to 35 weeks, so over 8 months to complete some of these calls. Some of these workers were at secure sites and we were unable to reach them. We had to wait till they moved on or they were working at sites that had no video restrictions, etc. So we had a lot of limitations. Interestingly, if we had completed a worksite visit for one contractor, it took just as much effort to repeat a second visit. In other words, for a different apprentice, it took just as much effort to schedule and number of phone calls. It also took the same amount of effort, whether it was residential or commercial. Interestingly, commercial was not less, or was not more. Next is the amount of physical effort it took on our part to actually complete the worksite visit. The drive time in minutes was slightly higher for residential, which isn't surprising. They're further outside of the central business area or the city. But the time on site was also higher for commercial, which is not surprising because you often had to be escorted and, in fact, had to go through safety training, although it'd be brief. We also had, on occasion, we had to come back because the worker had already left or they run out of materials. On one occasion, UE, our electrical company, had shut down the job, so we had to go back. So that happened more often among residential. That we had to have repeat visits. So in summary, some early apprentices don't like to be singled out. That's from the refusal rate among our apprentices. Our strong union support in a highly unionized system enabled our willingness of contractors. Contractor approval was not our problem. But communication with contractors is always difficult. Furthermore, residential workers change work locations frequently, making them very, very hard to capture. And there's a high cost in time and miles to complete a single worksite visit. So in conclusion, collection of field data in longitudinal studies, when you're trying to find a specific worker, is very expensive. They work short work cycle time and the variability of the work adds to this burden of locating those individuals. The cultural norms and the relationships matter. And even with strong union contractor support, individual follow-up is difficult. So It makes one wonder whether cross-section or group aggregate data might be preferable for this population. Thanks. Interesting. We didn't have the barrier with the contractors. They all knew we were coming out to videotape, and that was never given as a reason. And we only had eight who refused. So your experience was different than ours, including our commercial contractors.
These were mostly residential,
but yours were mostly commercial. And it could be. And we did have some that it took a long time, but our apprentices are changing jobs fairly often, and so you just wait till they move on. We had a bigger issue with the apprentices, and these were young, early apprentices in the early stages. They're only 6 months into their program. So, yeah. No, we didn't get any grief by the coworkers, but there was definitely some relation. Yes. So... And you know, I did the majority of these, and I could sense as to how comfortable that apprentice felt. And there is definitely a cultural thing going on there. Some of the apprentices just didn't give a damn. Some of them knew it was going on and, you know, just let's get it over with. But they had agreed to it, and they knew coming in that this was what it entailed. We told them it is about a 5-minute interview. The rest of the time we're watching you work, and we're following you around with a camera. So they knew that, and yet that was the reason most of them disagreed. Now, I would say, though, once you're on site, it is a very different story. So I think you can agree to something thinking you understand, and then you get out there, and it's different. So there were a couple of occasions where, and I can't think specifically, where I would literally shorten the whole process because I could tell that I was interfering in a non-intentional way.
Here's a question here.
I didn't understand the question.
What?
Oh, because the contractor set the schedule. And there were occasions where, so in other words, the apprentice would not know until that day where they were going to be sent. And it was important to us to let the contractor know, to have control over when we were on site and when we weren't on site. So they knew that. But there were many contractors that told us work directly with the apprentice. So if we were given approval for that, we went that way. But most of the time, the apprentice did not know. Occasion, but I don't want to say it was safety things. I want to say it was accessibility. For example, there was somebody that was working, I don't know the name of it, but it's a gable thing on top of a big, huge commercial building, and I was going to have to put on a harness to go up. Well, I'm not going through an 8-hour training for a 1-hour eval. So they brought the guy down to do another typical task. Now, that kind of thing happened. I really don't think that there were safety issues where they cleaned up the site prior to. There were occasions where I would get on site and they would say, oh, before you turn the camera on, go put your hard hat on. There were quite a few occasions of that. I did not document those. But you're right, it did change. It did change. In a different trade, we actually collected in floor layers, sheet metal, and carpenters. I saw that a lot more in sheet metal, where they actually changed the exposure than carpenter.
You know, as one of the medical directors for Washington University's workers' comp, I occasionally had concerns about where Ann Preet was going and what she was doing.
Yes. Yes, and I would often say, no, I want to see whatever you're doing right now. I never did venture there. But there were a couple of occasions, I truly remember one time where I made them tie off the top of the ladder because I wasn't going up if they didn't do it.
Okay. Thank you.